Now we read together in the Gospel of Luke, the good news according to Luke chapter 2, and let's read again about Simeon and his coming up to the parents of Jesus. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, this is at verse 28 of Luke chapter 2. He was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Well, as I said in my prayer, it's a bit of a mess, isn't it? Brexit? Yeah? A lot of nodding heads. Do you want me to explain Brexit to you very quickly? No. It just can't be done, can it? No one seems to really know. You have to admire some of our politicians just for their tenacity, their hard work, their stamina. And their ability to keep going in a cause that looks almost doomed, but it is a bit of a mess, and I haven't a clue where it's going, and I don't suppose anyone really has. But it's not just Brexit. The country is not in a good place. There are a lot of people that are on the edge. We keep hearing that. We keep hearing about professional people who are just managing to keep going. We hear about teachers who are overstretched. We hear about nurses who are overstretched. We hear about the police service who are very clearly way overstretched. Free church ministers. really, it doesn't matter where you look, you find people who are stressed and stretched. We find many people in our society who have dropped off the edge as well. People who are homeless, people who are in prison, people who are in addiction of one kind or another. So our society has a dark underbelly. We may be conscious of that in Kyle. It's certainly true in the cities. Our economy is in a mess. It's a strange thing because there's never been more money in our country. It's a country with an immense amount of wealth, but that wealth is definitely not evenly spread out. It's not reaching places where it's needed, and it's in the hands of too many people. Our environment's in a mess. Our wildlife is in a mess. We hear about that big conference in Poland this week, whether the outcome of the conference will be to actually help our leaders and our societies to take the steps that we need to look after our planet. I'm still not persuaded of that because people are far too short-sighted in their way of looking at things. And we're at the moment borrowing from our children and our children's children and creating havoc for them. And we're not looking after the environment, the wildlife. And morally, we're a confused country. We've never been this confused. I don't think there's ever been a time, certainly in the last 1,000 years, when the confusion morally that we see today has been anything like as bad. So it's a mess. In Simeon's day, it was a mess as well. Not quite the same kind of mess, but it was still a mess. Israel was an occupied country. The Romans were in charge, and the Romans were pretty brutal, and they were pagans. So there was there were all kinds of problems. It was a pretty rough and raw situation to be in. And what do we do when the world is in a mess? What do we do when our lives are in a mess? Well, sometimes we don't really know what to do. Sometimes we think, where do I go from here? How do I move forward from here? That can be a reality for us. But there is one thing we know we can always do, and that is to pray. It says that Simeon, this is in verse 25, Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. So here's a man who's waiting. Now this means he was waiting on God. He wasn't a man to be consoled by superficial solutions. It wasn't enough for Simeon just to put the television on him and watch a good movie to make himself feel better. That wasn't consolation for Simeon. Consolation couldn't be found with easy sticking plaster solutions. For Simeon, he wanted the consolation of his society. He was wanting his society to get out of the mess it was in. And he longed for God to step in and to sort the mess. And as far as Simeon was concerned, he was inconsolable until God would do that. And I'm challenged by that, and I hope we're all challenged by that. He was the kind of man who could shed tears over the plight of his society, over the plight of other people. He cared. He cared for his own people, Israel, and he cared for the Gentiles who were in darkness. And when Simeon prayed, he prayed in a way that was moving, in a way that was full of genuine concern. He wept for his people and their situation. And he was waiting for their consolation, their comfort. The American preacher A.W. Tozer has a short address. You can come across it in one of his books called God Tells the Man Who Cares. God Tells the Man Who Cares. And the first words of that little address are this. He says, the Bible was written in tears, and to tears it will yield its best treasures. God has nothing to say to the frivolous man. Simeon was not a frivolous man. He was a man who knew what it was to weep for his society. And because he cared that much, God tells the man who cares. God spoke to Simeon. And if we care for our society, and if we can weep tears, or we can be deeply moved by the plight of our own society, God will speak to us as well. God tells the person who cares. And Simeon cared. And because Simeon cared, God speaks to Simeon in a very special way. Verse 26, it had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Because he was inconsolable until God would console him and his people, God spoke to him. He cared, and God speaks to people who care. What was God's answer? Well, one day as Simeon prayed on for his people and wept, the Holy Spirit spoke into Simeon's heart and basically said to Simeon, Simeon, today's the day. Today's the day. As it says in verse 27, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Today's the day. I've got to be there. There's an appointment. I've got to meet the one who's going to console me and who's going to console my people. God said to Simeon, in other words, Simeon, you care. Simeon, I care. I care. I care for your people. I care for the plight of the world. And because you also care, Simeon, I'm going to show you I'm going to show you how I'm going to deliver people. And God leads Simeon into the temple, and he leads him to Mary and to Joseph. Now perhaps Mary and Joseph, in the milling throng in the temple, because the temple was a huge, huge place and it was busy, perhaps they, from their many visits to the temple, have seen Simeon before, because he's a man who's obviously spending a lot of time there. Maybe they recognized him. But Simeon comes up to him, it says. You just imagine him just coming up, and he's got that gentle approach, but he's trembling with excitement as well. And he looks at the baby, Jesus, and maybe he says, just, may I? He takes baby Jesus into his arms. He hands Jesus to him. And it says, verse 28, Simeon took him in his arms and he praised God. Now Simeon has more love for this child, almost even than his parents. More love than a father has for his firstborn son when handed to that son by a midwife. Because this child to Simeon isn't just like his child. This child is the consolation of his people. This child is the one who is going to bring deliverance and salvation and hope to Israel and to the world. And his voice, full of emotion, speaks those words, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. There in the midst of the great edifice of the temple, dwarfed by the massive walls of the temple, just one among the thousands thronging through the temple at the time, there is a man holding a baby. And that man raises his voice in praise to the Sovereign God, as verse 28 says. And people stop and people listen to Simeon and to what he's saying. And what does he say? Verse 30. My eyes have seen your salvation, he says. People are looking. What is this? He's just holding a baby. And look at this baby. Now at this stage, Jesus is 40 days old, because it's at that point that they do this purification ceremony in the temple. 40 days old. So, just think about what this baby looks like. He's wrapped up in cloths. This is an age before disposable nappies. Not to put too blunt a point on it. This is just a little baby. A baby that's probably not smiling yet. Probably not focusing properly yet, because it's a bit early. This is a baby who may be crying because he's hungry, or because he's wet, or because he's tired, or because there's too much going on and there's a lot of noise. Maybe he's in pain, he's got colic, whatever. And this baby is a survivor, because this is an age when 50% infant mortality is present. So it's quite likely that this baby, in natural terms, isn't even going to survive very long. And Simeon takes such a baby. Looks ordinary, an ordinary looking baby, about whom the Holy Spirit has said to him, here's your consolation. Here's your salvation. And he says, my eyes have seen your salvation. He says of this baby, God, this is your rescue plan. This is your rescue plan. Your rescue plan for Israel, for the Gentiles, for everyone. Because he says, you have prepared this salvation in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. This baby. Now this is a great example of faith. Because Simeon sees a peasant couple They're not a wealthy couple, just a peasant couple in their simple clothes with a baby who, as I said, could be dead from any number of incurable diseases in those days within a matter of a few days. And he says, God is telling me that this baby will live to be the way that God will use to rescue people from their sins and to bring them safely home to himself. God's telling me that that's what he's going to do. Even though he's just seeing a peasant couple with a baby, there's faith. There's faith that sees through that. And Mary and Joseph, they've heard many amazing things already about this child. But what Simeon says fills them, as it says in verse 33, with fresh amazement. They marvelled at what was said about him. This is bigger than they'd even thought. A light for revelation to the Gentiles, for glory for your people Israel. And it reaches right down to us today. It's for all people. Do you have Simeon's Christmas faith this morning? I call it Christmas faith because at Christmas time, we need to have faith to make any sense of Christmas. Because at Christmas time, what we're really saying is this baby whose birth we're remembering is the salvation of the world. And Simeon has that Christmas faith. He sees a baby and he believes and knows, because the Holy Spirit has revealed it to him, that this is God's salvation. This is the consolation of his people. So at Christmas time, do you have that faith yourself? Ask yourself that. You know, can you see through the tinsel and the presents and the commercialism of Christmas and all that, and see that really none of that matters? But what does matter is that this baby who's been born is the salvation of the world. This is God's rescue plan. What's your rescue plan this morning? Is it a new prime minister? Or another referendum? Scottish independence, maybe. What's your rescue plan? Maybe you think to yourself, I don't really need a rescue plan. I'm all right. Well, if that's what you think, like the orchestra on the Titanic, just keep playing on. Where is God in your life? If you say to yourself, I don't know, then that's why you need to be rescued. If you're not sure this morning where God is in your life, then that is the clearest possible indication that you need to be rescued, because without God, you're not going to last for long. Maybe you say, well, let's just put off the rescue talk just now. You know, it's Christmas. Let's just enjoy ourselves over the next wee while. We can think about the rescue plan when the credit card bills come in the new year. Well, Christmas actually is the time to think about the rescue plan most of all. Because this is what Simeon is saying. My eyes have seen your salvation. This child whose birth we're remembering is the rescue plan. So what is your rescue plan? Simeon goes on to say to Mary in verse 34, this child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many. And also in verse 35, that he will expose the innermost thoughts of many hearts. So every one of us is going to turn to our rescue plan sometime. We're going to need it. We're all going to need a rescue plan. Doesn't matter if just now we think we're just coming along fine. We're going to need a rescue plan. Things are going to happen in our lives that are too big for us to deal with. We're all going to need a rescue plan. And it might be some crisis just now. It might be the crisis of the end of your life. It might be the crisis of the end of this present age, the return of Jesus Christ. It might be the crisis of Judgment Day. We're going to need a rescue plan. What is your rescue plan? Because what you think about this Jesus, who is destined for the rising and falling of many, and who is destined to expose the innermost thoughts of your hearts, what you think about him, what decides what your rescue plan is. Because if Jesus isn't your rescue plan, then you're not going to turn to him when you need the rescue. The only way you can be sure that Jesus is your rescue plan is if he is already your rescue plan. If you're already someone that's dealing with God through Jesus, if you're already someone that is trusting that what Jesus has done saves you, is your salvation, saves you from being separate from God. So what I'm really saying is, are you turning to God every day through Jesus now? Is that the habit of your life? That you know that you need rescue already. And you know that every day you need rescue from yourself, from your sins, and from being separate from God, and that Jesus is that salvation. Jesus is that rescue. And you keep on dealing with God through Jesus every day. Because if you do that, then you know that he'll always be there. And you'll always be able to face what the future holds. But if I said to the children, if your rescue plan is in a drawer somewhere, or if it's just left in church on Sunday mornings, it's not something that you have with you when you need it, then it's time to really turn to Jesus. I don't know if any of you have a friend or a relative who has one of these help call buttons. Because if you have, you'll know they're supposed to wear them around their neck or somewhere where they can instantly access them. But sometimes, of course, they'll just put them away in a drawer. Catherine's smiling there as a nurse. She's had experience of that. You can't make someone wear their help call button. But if they fall outside, it's no use that it's in a drawer. If they fall in the bath, it's no use that it's in a drawer. It needs to be on them so that they can use it. And if we suddenly need the rescue plan, the rescue plan that is Jesus Christ, the salvation that Simeon held in his arms, the consolation. But Jesus is someone we've left behind. We've left in church. We've left for Sunday. We've left out of our lives. What's our rescue plan then? We need day by day to turn to Jesus. We need to start now, if we haven't started already, the habit of living with the consolation of Jesus every day. And with the sense of Jesus being our help and our salvation every day. So that whatever comes, we will be ready. Because Jesus is ready to rescue us.